Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tonight is the NBA Draft Lottery. Who wins the Zion sweepstakes? Joining us here on the show is longtime NBA insider. You've read him a number of different national stops, including ESPN.com. Now he is an NBA insider for The Athletic. Zach Harper dropping on by here on the DA show. Zach, good morning. How you doing?
I'm excellent. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Tonight, it feels as though the New York Knicks franchise is right now teetering on the brink of yet another decade of irrelevancy, or perhaps the most interesting team ever if they got Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Zion Williamson. Do you think, though, tonight has more influence or more importance for the Knicks because it's far from a guarantee that KD and Kyrie or one or the other would come to New York to try to be able to bring in Zion Williamson?
I think bringing in Zion does a lot for the franchise. It obviously is a huge boon for them on the court because they don't really have any talent on the roster right now, right? They have a couple of young guys that you might like, but for the most part, like, none of those guys you feel definite about building around. And then from a PR standpoint, it's fantastic because this guy's going to be a marketing, just such a marketing lightning rod for any organization. So you throw that into the New York market, it's huge. I'm not of the opinion that star players want to definitely go play because they got this number one pick. Like, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, I think, will look at it as icing on the cake for making a decision, but I can't imagine, unless just something absolutely blows them away between now and the time to make their decision, I don't believe that that's going to affect their decisions this summer. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, and we got Zion Williamson, that's nice. Or maybe you grab him, and when you have Kevin Durant and you have Kyrie Irving coming on board, you then flip that and go, oh yeah, we can go trade for Anthony Davis. You know, I think it gives them options, but I don't think it affects actual decisions this summer.
Do you think Zion is a slam dunk superstar?
Yes. Now, I don't know if that means number one player on a good team. I don't think he's that type of player. I think that's where we get confused with a lot of the way we talk about the draft. It's like, oh, he's the number one pick. Well, he's got to be a franchise guy, the number one player on the best team. No, that's not how that necessarily works. Every year, someone's got to be the number one pick. It doesn't mean they have to be a top five player in the league, but I think he could be this souped up version of what Sean Marion was for the Suns. That may sound disappointing to some people. Sean Marion was an awesome player. He's one of the 15 best players in the league when he was at his peak. Now, if you add that to what Zion Williamson can do, that kind of role player with his athleticism, his versatility in today's NBA, I think that could end up being a top 10 to top 10, top 15 player in the league at his peak, maybe even better than that. But this idea that, oh, well, he's the best prospect we've had since LeBron James, so he must be LeBron James, I think is just a dumb way of looking at it, and that's usually how we end up bending these things.
Zach Harper joins us from The Athletic, looking at tonight's NBA draft lottery, amongst other things. Out of the teams that could win the lottery tonight, where would Zion have the most impact? Where would his fit be best?
I think Atlanta. I really like what Atlanta's done over the last couple of years and kind of resetting everything. Obviously, Trae Young looks like he's going to be a phenomenal point guard in this league. John Collins is really fun. Kevin Huerter is a nice shooting guard prospect. They've got a good mix there. They've got a good kind of franchise identity that's forming with this young talent. If you add Zion Williamson to the mix, you just have to feel so good about them eventually becoming a powerhouse in the East because they already have these nice little components there, and a player like Zion just kind of galvanizes that rebuilding effort even more. So I think the idea of Trae Young throwing lobs to Zion Williamson, I think we all may move to Atlanta if that happens. Because I just think, like, you can't miss that. Like, that is going to be a level of entertainment, even right away, even before they're good, that is just going to make that part of the NBA must-see.
What about a fit with the Phoenix Suns? They were one of the worst teams of the NBA yet again. They have Devin Booker. They have DeAndre Ayton. If you put Zion Williamson in there, would they automatically become one of the more interesting teams in the Western Conference?
Yeah, but then you just wonder, that how is Robert Sarver going to ruin this one?
Yeah.
Right? Like, they already have a lot of – like, it's weird. Like, DeAndre Ayton had a really good rookie season. He averaged, like, 16-10. He was historically good for the Phoenix Suns franchise as a rookie. I think only like 40 rookies in NBA history, something like that, put up the averages he's put up. Like, he was really good. No one seems to care. No one seems to care. I know we were caught up in Luka mania and caught up in Trey mania and all that stuff and any kind of other mania you can throw at a rookie. But no one really cares, because it just, you look at that Suns franchise, they won 19 games and they were relatively healthy. Devin Booker was great down the stretch. And they're such a bumbling organization that nothing seems to matter. So I think, obviously he would throw a jolt into that franchise and maybe help them. But I almost, this is going to sound mean, I almost don't want the Suns to get him, because I don't want them to ruin that whole story.
The consolation prize tonight is Ja Morant. Do you think he's got stardom written on him in the NBA?
I do, but I think a lot of that's contingent on how well he can shoot at the NBA level. And I'm dubious about that, because he wasn't a good outside shooter his freshman year. Last year he improved to, I think, what, like something like around 36%, which is good, but it's not great. That's a little above league average at the NBA level, but you're also moving that line back at the NBA level. So I think regardless, he'll be fun. I think his athleticism, his feel for the game, his intelligence on the court, I think he's going to be a good player. But a star player probably only happens if he can shoot. And I'm not convinced that shooting motion is quite there, but he's got a lot of time to develop. Whoever gets him has a chance to really mold him in that way. And man, like, we talk about athleticism with Zion, it's not Zion level athleticism, but Ja can fly, and he's going to be a highlight tape waiting to happen.
Zach Harper joins us, NBA writer for The Athletic. Feels like there's a lot of people that feel it's an inevitability that Kevin Durant comes to the New York Knicks. Do you think it's that inevitable?
I mean, it sounds like it, you know, like all the whispers behind the scenes and everything. This is, you know, these whispers were there in 2016, 2015, 2016 about him going to the Warriors. I mean, I have friends who cover the Warriors, and they were telling me in like November of 2015, the Warriors are going to get Kevin Durant next summer. Like, that seemed to be the thing. Like, I don't know how well Kevin Durant's agent or Kevin Durant's inner circle keeps secrets, but it wasn't really a big secret in 2015, 2016, and it doesn't seem to be a big secret now. So I'm sure he can change his mind. Whatever happens with this title run, whether they get it or not, could definitely affect this stuff. But yeah, from what I've heard so far and what's kind of being reported, I expect him to be in New York next year.
Do you believe this report that the Philadelphia 76ers would look into trading for LeBron this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think any team would. You know, like, I think any team would be like, oh, it's not working out in L.A.? Well, we could use a LeBron. Like, I don't think that's necessarily a big shock to me. It would be more of a shock if the Lakers are actually going to trade it. We heard those reports and rumors that people around Jeannie Buss were saying, oh, you should trade LeBron. This is too much of a circus. Like, this isn't working out. Like, this isn't worth it. Until they get to that point, I believe any team will try to trade for LeBron should we get there. But I'm not convinced that the Lakers are actually going to pull the trigger on that.
Zach Harper joins us from The Athletic. Do you think it was the right move for the Sixers to bring back Brett Brown?
I do. I think he's a good coach. I think that they've got some things to figure out. I think the free agents kind of leave there. If Tobias Harris leaves and goes to like Brooklyn or somewhere, if Jimmy Butler leaves and goes to LA or somewhere, right? Like, I think you're left with an organization that still has Joel Embiid, that still has Ben Simmons, and both those guys seem to like Brett Brown, and Brett Brown's done a good job in molding them and developing them. And I think he's a good enough coach to keep that going. I think if you give him another chance next year and everyone comes back and you still have this big, you know, starting lineup that's supposed to be so great. I think if you give him that chance and then they get around the same result next season, then yeah, I think it's probably time to move on. But there's nothing that I saw this year that made me think, ooh, I don't think he's the right coach for this place. Like, he's got some things to figure out with rotations, with staggering minutes, with certain approaches with Ben Simmons and getting him going, but he's a good coach. And I think unless you know who your next coach is, you don't just fire someone to fire someone. Like, we saw that last year with Terry Stotts. when they got swept out of the playoffs by the Pelicans. There were some people calling for his head, like, well, he's clearly lost this team and they're not going to be good moving forward, so you got to fire him. Portland didn't panic. They didn't do that by any means. They come back. Now they're in the Western Conference Finals. Like, I think Brett Brown, unless you have an absolute replacement for him in mind and you know you can get that guy, you don't fire him right now.
Do you think that John Beilein can work in the NBA?
Ooh, that is a great question. I have no idea, too, because I don't know what you do with college coaches going to the NBA. I know it's worked out in the past. We've had stories of success. We've also had stories of hilarity, you know, kind of into it. Like, he sounds like a good coach. He sounds like he knows what he's doing. His style of play does fit the NBA more than other styles of play in college ranks. But he's like 66 years old already, right? Like, I mean, he's been around a while, and he's been in college a very long time. And I don't know. A lot of that will depend on the players Cleveland gets and brings in for him. But I just don't know that transition from being the head of a basketball organization, which is basically what coaches are in college, right? I mean, obviously the athletic director's up there, but being the head of a basketball organization in college to being the first scapegoat in the NBA, that's the power struggle that not a lot of guys can figure out jumping to the pros.
Zach Harper joins us from The Athletic. Tonight, going back to the lottery for a moment, who would be the most devastated? What team is the most devastated if they don't win the number one pick?
Ooh, I think the Knicks. I think the Knicks, just because there still is uncertainty. I believe Kevin Durant's going there this summer. I don't know if that means Kyrie's going as well. Maybe Kemba's going, but let's say Kevin Durant changes his mind, and that means that Kyrie Irving doesn't want to go to the Knicks, or Kemba Walker doesn't want to go to the Knicks, and nobody wants to keep joining that perpetual cycle of just not mattering and being a punchline. Well, at least you have Zion Williamson, right, if those guys change their mind. At least you have that fun aspect to make the Knicks at least a fun thing to watch in a non-joking way next year and for the years to come. But if they don't get the number one pick and those free agents don't come, and let's say they get the 3 pick or the 4 pick, and you're left with someone like RJ Barrett, who will probably be a really, really good NBA player, that's just not what you need to convince the fans that something is changing for the better moving forward. As good as RJ Barrett might end up being, you really need that just marketing, that marketing monster in what Zion Williamson's going to be.
Yeah. Zach Harper joins us, writer for The Athletic. Really, The Athletic is a wonderful resource if you're a sports fan. I subscribe to it. I really enjoy it. The app is wonderfully easy to use. Really great articles and deep reads. And it's definitely worth your time if you're a sports fan. So check it out. The Athletic, available on your device. Zach Harper writes for the NBA there. Zach, great stuff as always, buddy. Thanks so much. Enjoy the lottery tonight, man.
Appreciate it. We've got podcasts too now, so check those out.
That's right. The Athletic has podcasts and video as well, so check that all out via The Athletic. Thanks, Zach.
Appreciate it.
Zach Harper joining us this morning here on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.